This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Why feedback conversations fail even when your intentions are good. Good intentions don't guarantee good outcomes in feedback. In short, feedback conversations fail not because your intentions are wrong, but because specific, flexible mistakes get between your message and the person who needs to hear it. Vague language that leaves the other person guessing what to change. Timing that puts the other person on the defensive before you speak. Apparent agreement that masks the fact nothing was received. Definition: feedback conversations fail when the gap between what a giver intends and what a receiver actually hears becomes too wide to bridge. This happens through errors in preparation, delivery, tone, or timing, not through a lack of care or effort. You thought it went well. You were calm, fair, specific. You even prepared what you wanted to say. Then 2 weeks passed and nothing changed. Or the person became distant. Or you heard later that they felt ambushed, even though you were nothing but kind. This is one of the most disorienting experiences in workplace communication. Feedback conversations fail all the time for people who genuinely care about the outcome. The problem is that good intentions are invisible. The other person cannot see them. They can only feel the words, the timing, and the delivery. Most people do not realize their feedback missed the mark until they see the consequence: a repeated behavior, a damaged relationship, or a team member who's quietly stopped trusting them. By then, the opportunity has closed. In this article, you will learn to recognize 6 specific mistakes that cause feedback conversations to break down, and what to do about each one. For a structured approach to delivering feedback that holds up under pressure, how to give constructive feedback without causing tension is a strong companion to what follows. Why feedback delivery problems are easy to miss. The reason these mistakes go undetected is simple: the other person rarely tells you. They absorb the discomfort, give you enough to end the conversation, and move on. You walk away thinking the exchange was a success. There are several reasons the problem stays hidden for so long. The conversation feels complete. The other person nodded, said thank you, or agreed with your points. This creates a false sense of resolution that masks the fact the message did not actually land. The damage is slow. A single failed feedback conversation rarely destroys anything immediately. It erodes trust in small increments, and by the time the erosion becomes visible, it is hard to trace it back to a specific moment. You remember your intention, not your impact. After a feedback conversation, most people replay what they meant to say, not what the other person actually experienced. The gap between those two things is where the problem lies. Defensiveness looks like engagement. When someone pushes back or asks questions, it can appear as though the conversation is working. Sometimes it is. But often, it is a sign that the person felt attacked and is now protecting themselves, not considering your feedback. Colleagues normalize avoidance. In many teams, feedback is delivered so rarely or so poorly that people have simply stopped expecting it to go well. No one flags the failure, because failure is the norm. The first step is knowing what to look for. That is what this article gives you. Mistake 1. Opening with how you feel about the situation. What it looks like. You start the conversation by explaining that you have been concerned, frustrated, or disappointed. The other person hears your emotional state before they hear the actual issue. Why it happens. Sharing your feelings seems honest and human. It is also a way of softening the opening, which feels kinder. The problem is that when someone hears that they have disappointed or frustrated you, the nervous system often reads that as a threat before the conversation has properly begun. Why it matters. Once defensiveness sets in, the person is no longer fully listening to what you say next. You're speaking to someone who is busy managing their emotional response, not processing your feedback. What to do about it? Start with the observable behavior, not your emotional reaction to it. In yesterday's client meeting, you interrupted the client 3 times as a concrete anchor. Once the behavior is named clearly, the person has something specific to respond to rather than a feeling to deflect. Eamon's note: I spent years believing that vulnerability in the opening built trust. What it actually built was confusion about who the conversation was really for. Mistake 2. Using language so general it gives nothing to work with. What it looks like. You tell someone they need to communicate better, be more present, or take more ownership. The person nods. Nothing changes. Why it happens. Vague language feels safer. It avoids the risk of sounding harsh, but vague feedback is not kind. It is unhelpful. The person leaves the conversation without a clear picture of what they actually need to do differently, why it matters. You cannot act on an adjective. Be more proactive describes a quality, not a behavior. Without a specific example and a clear description of what different looks like, the person has no real direction to move in. What to do about it? Before the conversation, write down one specific incident. Describe what happened, what the impact was, and what a different choice would have looked like. Use the SBI method as a framework. Situation, behavior, impact. It turns vague impressions into clear, actionable information. Eamon's note. Vague feedback is not gentle. It is just a different kind of harm, one the giver rarely has to witness. Mistake 3. Choosing the worst possible moment. What it looks like. You give feedback right after an incident, while both of you are still activated, or you give it minutes before a deadline, when the person has no capacity to absorb anything, or you ambush someone in the corridor. Why it happens. Timing is the element most people give the least thought to. When something goes wrong, the urge to address it immediately feels responsible. It is often just urgency masquerading as leadership. Why it matters. A person who is stressed, rushed, embarrassed, or emotionally raw cannot receive feedback effectively. The words may reach them, but they will not be processed in a way that leads to change. What to do about it? Give yourself and the other person a short window to settle. Even a few hours makes a difference. Ask for a specific time. Can we find 15 minutes tomorrow morning to talk through something? This signals that the conversation matters and that you respect their capacity to engage with it properly. Eamon's note. The right words at the wrong moment are the wrong words. Timing is not a courtesy. It is a condition for the feedback to work at all. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books They Write Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Mistake 4. Treating the conversation as a monologue. What it looks like. You prepare your points, deliver them clearly, and then ask, does that make sense? Or say any questions, and interpret silence as agreement. The other person never actually speaks in any meaningful way. Why it happens. Feedback givers often prepare extensively for what they will say, and almost nothing for what they will hear. The conversation becomes a delivery exercise rather than an exchange. This is one of the less obvious reasons why feedback conversations fail, because the giver usually feels the conversation was thorough. Why it matters. Feedback that is not received is just noise. If the person does not engage with the message, clarify their understanding, or have space to respond, you have no way of knowing whether the feedback actually landed. What to do about it? Build a real question into the conversation, not a closed one. What is your read on what happened in that meeting? Or how did you experience that situation? Create space for genuine dialogue. Their answer will tell you far more than silence ever will. For a fuller picture of how dialogue shapes outcomes, the role of communication in meeting success offers useful context. Eamon's note. Preparation is important, but a feedback conversation you cannot adapt to is a speech, not a conversation. Mistake 5. Focusing on the person rather than the behavior. What it looks like. The feedback slides from describing what happened to describing who the person is. You always do this. That is just how you operate. You are not a team player. Why it happens. When a pattern repeats, it starts to feel like a character trait rather than a choice. The frustration behind the feedback begins to shape the language, and the language shifts from behavior to identity. Why it matters. When someone hears a statement about who they are, they defend their identity. That is a much deeper, more instinctive reaction than responding to a description of a specific action. The conversation stops being about a correctable behavior and becomes a debate about character. What to do about it? Stay anchored to the specific incident. Every time you feel the urge to say you always or you never, go back to one clear example. In Thursday's team meeting, you interrupted three colleagues before they finished their point. That is something a person can address. You never let people speak is something they can only resent. If you want to understand how this distinction affects the whole team, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is worth reading alongside this. Eamon's note. I have watched this one destroy teams that had every other thing right. Mistake 6. Ending without a clear, shared next step. what it looks like. The conversation closes with something like, okay, just something to think about, or I hope that helps. Both people leave, but there is no shared understanding of what changes, when, or how you will both know it has happened. Why it happens. Closing a feedback conversation without accountability can feel less pressuring, less confrontational. But what it actually does is remove the structure that makes change possible. Without a next step, the feedback floats. It is heard once and then set aside. Why it matters. Feedback without follow-through teaches people that conversations with you do not require action. Over time, this erodes the entire culture of accountability on your team. People learn to endure feedback, not act on it. For a method that builds follow-through into the feedback process itself, how to use the GROW method to turn team feedback into a synergy improvement plan is one of the most practical tools I have encountered. Eamon's note. A conversation without a clear next step is not a closed loop. It is a seed left on concrete. The pattern behind these mistakes. These mistakes really appear in isolation. Where one exists, you will usually find two or three others nearby. That is because they share a common root. The single most common cause of failed feedback conversations is insufficient preparation combined with an assumption that good intent will carry the message. Most people walk into a feedback conversation with a general sense of what is wrong and a hope that honesty will be enough. It is not. Feedback is a skill with specific conditions. When those conditions are missing, even the most sincere message fails to land. The second pattern worth naming is the confusion between comfort and effectiveness. Many of the mistakes in this article come from trying to make the conversation easier, softening the language, avoiding specifics, skipping the follow-up. Every one of those choices reduces discomfort for the giver. Every one of them reduces effectiveness for the receiver. The third pattern is the absence of the other person's perspective. Feedback conversations fail when they are designed only from the giver's point of view. The timing, language, and structure are all calibrated to what the giver needs to say, not what the receiver needs to hear. When you build the conversation around the receiver's ability to absorb and act on the message, the whole dynamic changes. Fix the root and most of the symptoms resolve. Your diagnostic checklist. Use this checklist to assess where you or your team currently stand. I open feedback conversations by naming the specific behavior, not my emotional reaction to it. I use at least one concrete example in every feedback conversation I have. I choose the timing of feedback conversations deliberately, not impulsively. I build space for the other person to respond with more than a yes or no. My feedback describes what someone did, not who they are. Every feedback conversation ends with a shared understanding of what changes next. I prepare for what I will hear, not just what I will say. I check whether the other person has the emotional capacity to receive feedback before I begin. I avoid phrases like "you always" and "you never." I follow up after a feedback conversation to see whether change has occurred. If you checked 3 or fewer, you have strong foundations to build on. If you checked 4 to 7, address the highest impact items first, starting with specificity and timing. If you checked 8 or more, these patterns need immediate attention before they erode the trust your team has in you as a communicator. How to start fixing this? Diagnosis without action is just worry. Here is where to begin. Number 1. Prepare one specific example before every conversation. Before you sit down with anyone for a feedback conversation, write out a single clear incident, what happened, what the impact was, and what different behavior would look like. This one step eliminates most vague language before it starts. Number 2. Ask before you begin. Before delivering feedback, ask the person. Is now a good time to talk through something? This takes 5 seconds and immediately shifts the dynamic. You are no longer ambushing someone. You are offering them a conversation. Number 3. End with a question, not a statement. Close every feedback conversation by asking, what is one thing you will do differently, and when? This creates a shared commitment without pressure. It also tells you immediately whether the message actually landed. Number 4. Review conversations where nothing changed. Think back to the last 3 feedback exchanges that produced no visible result. For each one, identify which of the 6 mistakes was present. You will almost certainly see a pattern. That pattern is your starting point for a structured process that addresses the full arc of a feedback conversation. How the amygdala hijacks sabotages feedback conversations and what to do about it is essential reading, especially if emotional reactions on either side are part of your challenge. And if conflict arises during the process, how to handle conflict during meetings gives you the tools to hold the room. Summary. You can now see what you could not see before, the gap between your intentions and the other person's experience, and exactly where that gap opens. Good intentions do not determine how feedback lands. Delivery, timing, and specificity do. Vague feedback is not kind. It leaves people without the direction they need to improve. Timing is a condition for feedback to work, not a courtesy. When you describe identity instead of behavior, you lose the person before you finish the sentence. Feedback without follow-through teaches people that your conversations do not require action. The root cause is almost always insufficient preparation combined with a faith that honesty alone is enough. If you want to go deeper on how feedback shapes the wider team dynamic, start with how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it. And if you want a structured method to make every feedback conversation land with clarity rather than conflict, how to give constructive feedback without causing tension gives you the practical framework. Here is the truth of it: feedback conversations fail not because people are careless, but because this skill requires more preparation than most people give it. When feedback conversations fail, the fix is almost always simpler than you fear. Frequently asked questions. Why do feedback conversations fail even with good intentions? Feedback conversations fail when the delivery undermines the message. Even well-meaning feedback can trigger defensiveness, confusion, or disengagement if the timing, framing, or tone is off. Intention alone does not determine how feedback lands. The receiver's experience is what matters. What are the most common reasons feedback conversations go wrong? The most common reasons feedback conversations fail include vague language, poor timing, lack of preparation, and focusing on the person rather than the behavior. Each of these creates a barrier between what you mean to say and what the other person actually hears and acts on. How do I know if my feedback conversations are failing? Signs that feedback conversations fail include the same issues recurring after feedback, the other person going quiet during the conversation, or a visible shift in the relationship afterward. If nothing changes following your feedback, the message likely did not land the way you intended. Can feedback fail even when the other person seems to agree? Yes, apparent agreement in a feedback conversation is one of the most deceptive signs of failure. People often nod and say yes to end discomfort, not because they genuinely received the message. Compliance in the moment rarely produces lasting change in behavior. What is the difference between giving feedback and having a feedback conversation? Giving feedback is a one-way delivery of information. A feedback conversation is a two-way exchange where both parties engage with the message. When feedback conversations fail, it is often because the giver treats the exchange as a monologue rather than a genuine dialogue. How can I prepare so my feedback conversations do not fail? Prepare by identifying a specific behavior, a clear example, and the impact you observed before the conversation begins. Knowing what you want to say and what outcome you are aiming for reduces the chance that emotion or vagueness will derail the exchange entirely. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.